level people, the only main point that I wish to bring to your attention out of the bulletin this morning is that we pray for our sick. We have some sick in the chapels right now, and I ask you for your very special prayers for them, that God will make them whole again. Were not the ten made clean, but where are the nine? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, of course, it is easy to take from this quotation, the necessity for gratitude. We necessarily approach Almighty God with much fervor when we need something. And all of us, at one time or another, are in need of this or that. Some things with much greater urgency than others. And when we do receive what we have asked for, do we approach God with the same degree of gratitude that we had when we were asking for something? Or do we even bother to thank him? I have lately done more than my share, wish, and desire to travel. And I hope I can say that it is over for a long time. It's not one of my favorite delights. But in so doing, in traveling, I have come into contact with people from different parts of the country. And if nothing else, this was in itself something of importance to me. I have learned that in general, the Catholic people, and this includes, even to a certain degree, traditional Roman Catholic people, have simply forgotten their religion. They do not know how to be Catholic. Oh, they observe certain externalisms, and it seems that these externalisms are the things that are promoted from the pulpit, by the priests, by whatever sisters they have. Yes, the externalisms are promoted. But in general, how to be Catholic is forgotten. People have forgotten their religion. They're proud of it, all right. No question about their being proud of their religion. But as far as the practice of their religion, they are quite rusty. And in hanging on to the externals, somewhat like hanging on to the shadow and forgetting all about the substance. There is something that is essential to the religious life you are called to the religious life, not just the ones that are wearing religious garbs. Perhaps not to the same extent, we know that. You're certainly not required to sacrifice your way in deference to the religious life as followed by monks and nuns and priests. But the religious life is something that is foreign to our whole atmospheric mentality today. Almighty God is something that we acknowledge as being there and important, but we simply have forgotten the consequence. It is of no consequence otherwise than just lip service, Almighty God. Today we are so filled with the speed of life as it is traveled in what we call the fast lane, where we do not know what it means to take time out and give praise to Almighty God. In the religious life of a man or a woman who joins a convent or a monastery, we use such a word as formation. In recent months and recent years, I truly have become alarmed at the religious formation that is shown by priests today. Not just the priests who are in the new order of the church, but as well by priests in the old order of the church. And this is something that I have found in the various places that I have moved about in. Even the priests have forgotten how to be priestly. And this is such a sadness, because these people get up in front of others to teach, and they simply cannot give what they do not possess. We are living in a time that is unprecedented as far as upheaval goes. And the upheaval that I speak of has touched absolutely every fiber of human existence today. Every fiber has been touched. And when you tell these people this is not the way to do it, they understand that it is not the way to do it. But when you present them with the right way to do it, they balk, because this is not what they are accustomed to. We grown-ups have a real responsibility, especially for our children. If we ourselves, this is a question that we must ask ourselves with the sincerity and the gravity that this question demands. We forgot how to be Catholic when we were grazing on green pastures. The older ones of us. We forgot how to be Catholic when we were grazing on green pastures. How in the world to know how to be Catholic when they are grazing on stubble? How can we expect this? Our children, in many instances, are not really educating their children. They're not transferring to them the essence and the importance of their religion. And wherever possible, it falls to the grandparents to do all kinds of gymnastics and traveling and doing and undoing and promoting and presenting Catholicity to the grandchildren. And I fear that this is not going to work. Because the 1 or 2 days a week that the grandparents have the children is not enough to counteract the other parts of the week. Our religion is not something that we put on like a cloak on Sunday morning, if and when we decide to do it. Our religion is not something that can be put aside by any and all and every flimsy excuse that we can conjure up for not going to church on Sundays. And we give to God the least possible amount of service. Yet, we expect God to jump every time we need something. My beloved people, God does not operate that way. God is something serious. He's not make-believe. And our observance is not something that is make-believe in a playhouse. I know priests who are living in playhouses. And those that are around and about them are their playmates. That's about as deep and in-depth as a religion really is. If God could condemn an entire human race, if God could punish the very essence of his pride in his creation of mankind, simply because of a simple, what we would classify simple today, for, and it is indeed simple compared, if God could punish the entire human race and take away all of the benefits of the human race by what we today would classify as a tiny act of disobedience that was committed by our first parents, If he could do that, my beloved people, can you think for a second? If God could do that and find this in the realm of his justice, that he could condemn all of us, could punish all of us, by the act of someone that we don't even know, and in a generation totally removed from us, what in the world do we think of the justice of God when we introvert enough and honestly into ourselves and see what we are guilty of? What we are guilty of, we should apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. They were angels compared to us in our day. How can we expect anything but the punishment that is presently being given to us? We do not look upon it as punishment. Yes, indeed. It isn't the cataclysm of war or terror or flood or drought or heat or cold. Those are unimportant. The greatest cataclysm is the loss of our faith. Because in the losing of our faith, we have lost everything. But since it is something that is not that is not something that is tangible in the here and now, we don't think about it. We don't want to hear about it. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to read about it. Nothing. Just don't say it. Because it makes me uncomfortable. And I don't want to be uncomfortable. Let us compare our lack of comfort in a brief moment to the eternal punishments of hell. But there again, we have gone so far in our distortion today that not only do we not want to hear about hell, but we have actually taken hell out of context, put it on the table, and put pretty icing on it, and make it look like something that really isn't too bad after all. So why all the fuss? This is what we have done. And our children today, our children today are perhaps more prone to give Satan his due more than God. That's where we are. And let us not think for one uneasy moment that this is the child of our neighbor across the street, but my child will not do that. That is foolishness personified. Don't look at your neighbor's children. Look at your own. And see where they are. And do not think for a second that because we try to observe a traditional Catholicism and that we bring our children up in traditional Catholicism, that our children are above all of this which you speak about. My dearest people, I've seen many places, and we have children of our own, and they are wonderful, they are obedient, they go to communion every time we do, they say the rosary when we do. They use their prayer books. They use their missals. They genuflect beautifully in church. They do all of the lovely things that lovely children do in holy circumstances. And the minute they reach 18, they're gone. And they get involved in all of the intricacies that their peers are involved in. Mixed marriages, divorce, we call it annulment in our church. Annulments, divorce, whatever, 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 whatever. And where are the parents? What kind of example are the parents giving these children? What kind of encouragement are they giving them so that when they do reach the age of 18, they're actually gone? And try to get them to come inside of a church after that. You know the answer to that question, because most of us are carrying that cross on our shoulders, are we not? And we say, well, what can we do? Well, the doing is over. It's gone. We are surely living in desperate times. And what can we do about it, we say? It's a tough question, other than prayer, and much prayer. And some of us think that when you monk, you should burst open the doors and you should go out into the streets and you should preach and give and show yourselves and identify yourselves what you are, and you must convert the world and you must restore all things in Christ. That's what we're told to do. But all we're doing is hanging on by the skin of our teeth to what we've got. So as we continue in this situation, let us open our eyes to the truth of things and to the enormity of things so that we can do perhaps what little there is to do as prayer. And good example. That's all we've got. Debate. How many people that you know of in your acquaintance that have been affected one iota by debate or instruction or coercing or bearing? The only ones that will be affected by that are the ones that are going to do it anyway. The ones that are not going to do it, it's an exercise in futility. And it gives one sour stomach in the process. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. That's the situation. It looks grim. It is grim. Looks discouraging, and it is discouraging. But we have one true hope, that for those of us who believe truthfully, and as we should, Almighty God will not abandon us. And after all, it is our own salvation that we have to worry about first. We cannot think of the salvation of our neighbor, or our child, or our uncle, or so on, until we ourselves have secured our own salvation. And we have to also comprehend what salvation means. We are so wrapped up with the magnificence of the glorious things that we have created by our own invention that we do not give much thought to another kind of life. My dear people, we are not living in anything that would begin to approach that which is in store for him who loves his God. And to love God means what? That we have to start working where? Across the street? In the house of our sons and daughters? In our neighbors' houses? It means, where does the work begin? Begins inside of me. That's where it begins. And until I can conquer me, it is useless for me to speak to anyone about anything. That's where it begins. So God bless you and protect you and keep you. And remember, in the measure that we give unto God, in that measure will he give unto us. And if later things don't work out, let us not condemn God for thought lies in me, not in God. That's where it is. God bless you.